everyone, and welcome to episode 51 of Radio Radar. Thank you for joining us, and thank you to everyone who joined us last week when we did our live show.
That was awesome.
On twitch.television.
No, just TV.
They got it shortened?
I did.
That's cool.
It was weird to be in that. Now after watching it, like seeing us in that lineup of the five of us in a row, and next time you're right, I think we should have a table. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, we'd have to invest in a table, and I don't know if future can afford a table.
Right? No. I'm Hollander Cooper. Here with me is
Tom Agrino.
Henry Gilbert.
Lucas Sullivan.
And joining us from across the pond.
He flew over just for this.
Just for this quick podcast is
Andy Harter.
And so people who are listening to the podcast, we've discussed your works before, but can you explain how what you do? Your fine works. Can you tell them what you do on Games Radar?
Everything that everyone does in Britain goes into a museum.
They have more museums than people per capita.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that is true. I can confirm that, yeah.
Okay, good.
What do I do? I basically run the UK side of Games Radar.
Cool.
So I make sure your favorite writers, Justin and Dave, actually write features and looking on the internet all day.
Actually, do some work.
Yeah, awesome.
And I occasionally write features myself when I can be bothered.
You do?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us.
No problem.
So we're going to jump into the top seven, which was actually written by Lucas in honor of Indie Week.
Oh yeah,
it was like one of the first pitches we had for Indie Week.
This was the one I was like, yeah, that should be a top seven.
Top seven best indie crossovers.
Oh, yes.
Cornerstone of Indie Week.
Yes. Starting with number seven, The Unfinished Swan.
Which I haven't played myself.
I always like I love conversations that begin, so, this is one of the best things ever. I haven't played it, but...
I hear tell it's okay.
I am assured by the internet. Sorry, go on.
So, Unfinished Swan.
The Wikipedia reception tab spoke quite highly of this game.
It was an 8.4 on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Critics... praise.
GameZone gave it a 7.5, but said that they liked it, according to Wikipedia.
I love the objectiveness of the Wikipedia reception.
It feels good to me when I'm quoted on Wikipedia. I'm on the awful page.
Henry Gilbert was mildly impressed by its paint mechanic.
We should just go in and edit more articles.
I like that. Like you can check, and we're mentioned like 12 times on the Garrus page. There's just so many. Like Garrus was on this, and this list. Games Radar said this, and this.
By Hollander Cooper.
Every single one.
Garrus is a sexy man.
He is.
So anyways, this top seven, it's about indie characters appearing in other indie games that are not their own, such as number seven, The Unfinished Swan. You can actually find the scarf people from Journey. You basically go up to this, apparently it's not that well hidden, like pretty much anyone can find this.
I mean, they don't
want to
make it that well hidden.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not like...
it's not going to sell any copies of Journey, is it?
Right. It's a surprise that wants to be had.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not like John Romero's head hidden in a wall.
Right. It's not like that. You're a weird person.
That's from Doom. Yeah. Anyways, if you go up to this tower in the game, there's a telescope. If you look through this telescope, you don't see anything initially. You zoom all the way in, and you get a nice view of the huge mountain and pillar of light from Journey, with two familiar-looking fellas standing in front of it.
Two scarved men and or women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Unisex people.
Yes.
One of which may be named...
Tom Agrino.
Stoner Hoo-Ha 420.
Yeah. Well, it was you and Stoner Hoo-Ha 420.
Right. The best of friends.
Like a very intimate relationship with him and his other eight intimate people.
Yes.
And this makes sense because the games were actually bundled together for an on-disc release. So
they were?
Yeah. I believe so. And maybe they're set in the same universe. It could be, you know? Maybe Unfinished Swan is like the other side of the world from Journey.
I mean, it couldn't be that far away.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see it by a telescope.
I mean, you don't know how powerful that lens is.
It must be a pretty flat planet, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Curvature there.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll find out when they finish it, yeah.
Nice.
Finally colored in.
The Finished Swan would not be as good of a game, by the way.
The Finished Swan is actually a nuclear device that goes off and wrecks the planet.
It's just called Swan as well.
Yeah. It's actually just a swan you slowly rotate with the six axis. You just move it around, and you're like, that's a nice fucking swan.
I'd play that game. Number six, Super Crate Box by Vlambeer. You probably know him for Ridiculous Fishing, which...
so good. That game is so good.
We were all about that
game. Oh, yeah. And they just announced a roguelike.
Really?
Flambeer is making a roguelike. Yeah, people are losing their shit about it on the interwebs, on the reception tab on Wikipedia.
On the tweeters.
Yes.
They wrote the reception tab entry for a game that just got announced.
Yeah, well, the reception was...
People seem to like it on Twitter.
Yeah.
So in Super Crate Box, you go around a one-screen level, pick up crates. Each one contains a different weapon. You use those weapons to kill an endless parade of little skull dudes. Mm-hmm. That's the game. That's basically an arcade experience.
There you go.
But as you collect crates, you unlock new weapons and, more importantly, new characters. So the characters can be anything from like an astronaut to a chicken to a guy with dreads. But at the very end are these secret characters, such as Super Meat Boy, the Spelunker from Spelunky, and the guy that's running through windows.
I just realized why this feature was so uninteresting to our readers. Because if you're thinking about it, it's just all a bunch of just like name-checking of other studios.
But it's really interesting to see... Who appears in each game?
But like when you see, like, say I'm playing Unfinished Swan and I see the guy from Journey off in the distance through this camera, I'm like, that's the guy from Journey.
I actually have your reaction. Little golf clap.
Oh,
you're like, good work, you did it.
Yep, I can see it. Okay, now I'm gonna go finish this game. Like, I can't imagine getting excited. I mean, I guess if you're
wait until you get lower on the list, they get better.
Or higher, as it were.
I guess so.
If you're the developer and you see, like, your little mascot in somebody's game, I can see you, like, having a little squeal fit, but just being like, oh, yeah, Meat Boy was winning that game,
wasn't
he?
Well, I like that with indie crossovers, there's really no barriers. Like, it's pretty rare to see, just having two companies crossover is pretty rare in gaming, but... With indie games, like, pretty much, it also, the crossover shows, it's a sign of brotherhood and camaraderie. Yes.
So, and there's suing the pants off either party for infringing.
So you're basically like, fair sports.
No.
They play well together.
Number five on the list, Dust Elysian Tale.
God dang it, Tom. You took the wind out of my sails hard right there. I've just lost all motivation to continue Dust Elysian.
No, let's hear about it.
Stuff you, Tom. Stuff you. Dust and Elysian Tale, you got all these crates hidden throughout the world. And at first you have no idea what's in them. All you see are two little eyes just peering out from within. As you go through the game, you collect keys. And if you get enough keys, you can go back to these boxes and find the most random cameos ever in there, such as... People from The Dishwasher. You ever heard of it? It's called Vampire Smiles.
So let me get this straight. When you open that crate, there's a dishwasher inside?
It's the dishwasher.
The dishwasher?
A man that washes dishes, not an
I'm
going to
start high-fiving all of the people around me when that happens.
It's called The Dishwasher Vampire Smiles. It's your favorite article on GamesRadar.com. You got people like...
Listen, if you're allowed to get excited over an article that doesn't traffic, so are we, okay?
Yeah, but what's funny is that sometimes the crates will be hidden in a way, I guess this only happens with one crate, hidden in a way that mimics the game they're from. So the Fez crate, which has Gomez from Fez in it, is in this weird, like, trippy camera pixelated, flipped around, it's all out of whack, stage that you have to maneuver through. I'm just looking at you, Tom, and I'm sitting here, disinterested face.
I'm listening.
Well, all right, and that also, Dust came out like about a year before Fez even came out, right? Or, like,
no, I think the...
Nope, that little interesting tidbit isn't actually true.
I'm going to go kill myself after this podcast. Yeah, anyways, you find them all in a dance party when you get back to your home base, which is kind of funny.
Yes.
Number four, Guacamelee.
I'm on your side here, Lucas.
You'll console me when I'm crying at my desk after the recording of this podcast. Number four, Guacamelee. So this game had many, many references, not just to games, but to memes, and even Giant Bomb and Destructoid got some shout-outs. I wish we had a mascot.
Well, then we couldn't have reviewed it, though.
Oh, I'm sure they reviewed it.
No, they didn't.
Really?
Yeah, usually they, whenever I've seen it, like Destructoid, they'll write a blog about it, but they won't review a game that their character is.
Yeah, like they Retro City Rampage.
The Destructoid robot head is in Borderlands.
Which, by the way, Retro City Rampage really should be on this list. I think it's like the Unfinished Swan is like what Journey, like one Journey guy. Well, Retro City Rampage is like it's got Meat Boy and
Meat Boy's played out.
The
Meat
Runner.
He gets around. He's a little promiscuous.
He's a little played out.
I think he's in six of the seven entries, isn't he?
Well, I picked the entries based on breadth of indie people that they cover and how significant their presence is. Like, how much attention was given to this. Super Crate Box, it's like, they're in there. They don't really play any differently.
Meat Boy's just having a good time.
Yeah.
Playing in the field, as they say.
I know Guacamelee, they had those Chozo statues from Metroid.
They had like
they should have called them Chorizo statues. So.
That would have been good, yes. I don't know why they didn't
opportunity
do that.
Missed.
But there's like a laundry list of video game references in the game, including a guy that says, "I am error," little Donkey Kong statues, a lot of internet memes on
Grumpy
posters.
Cat, I saw him.
Manny Calavera, Minecraft, et cetera, et cetera. Number three, because I just want to get this over with. I hate you so much.
Illomilo is number three, and that's a great game.
Yeah,
and Illomilo actually uses the indie crossovers to change the levels.
Yes, because the levels are themed around whoever is hidden in that section. So is it Illomilo or Illomilo?
Whatever your heart
desires.
I think it is
Illomilo.
Really? Anyways, in this game, you go around on block puzzles. You got to unite two cute little, I don't know quite what they are.
I think one is named Elo and one is named Milo. Mm-hmm. Now Ilo Milo makes more sense.
Yeah. Ilo Milo. Elo Milo.
Yeah, because one of them being named Milo doesn't make as much sense as one of them being named Milo.
I mean, yeah.
Ilo and Milo.
No one says Milo.
Ibn Ebb.
So it is Ilo Milo.
Let's go with Ilo Milo.
We've settled that discussion. Anyways. There are many, many characters that you unlock. God dang it, Tom. Your eyes
stop
are
looking
just,
at Tom
that
when you talk
that. Just get back to like, the interesting part of this conversation.
I need blinders. Right.
Yeah.
Andy, I'm going to look deeply into your eyes as I explain
That's
this.
Making me feel very uncomfortable.
Okay, I'm going to look at Coop, who's more interested by his laptop than this top stuff.
I was trying to look for cricket sound effects to play during your thing, but I guess I don't have to.
So the levels change, huh?
Yeah, this is another one I haven't played. But anyways, there is a game that I have played. It's called The Dream Machine. The character Victor Neff is in Ilo Milo, and no one cares about The Dream Machine, but you should, because it's an amazing point-and-click adventure where you play as a guy who has to go into his own head and the heads of the people that
stop looking
share
at Tom.
His apartment.
Stop looking at Tom.
I am
look
enthralled.
At me. Look into my eyes. Lucas, look
you.
Into my eyes.
I trust you.
I see you, Lucas Sullivan.
And then you see Runner 2.
Oh!
Number 2 on this top 7.
Did you put it at number 2 because it was Runner 2? Be honest.
No, but that was a nice, a convenient,
a
happy
I like that Runner 2 starts with the very beginning of its opening story cutscene is the runner flying
right
into
there.
Outer space with like 5 indie cameos behind him.
Oh, yes. And you don't see much in the base game, but for the DLC, which they entitled Good Friends, they had 6, I believe, possibly 7.
Oh.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Oh, yeah.
Big difference.
Characters from other games
as many as 7.
Oh, it changed how they jumped. It just said it. They changed their movements and control schemes too, right?
So no, they don't change the gameplay, but yes, they have special animations for each of them. So, for instance, in Runner 2, you have a shield that's used to block incoming bullets. Are you yawning off mic?
I mean, it's not related to what you're saying.
For instance, Raz from Psychonauts, great game. It's called Game Club, Coop. You ever heard of it?
Uh-huh.
He uses a shield, a mental shield of psychic powers to cover himself.
Oh.
That's cool.
It's interesting.
I appreciated that.
I'm interested.
I bought the DLC for $1.99 or however much it was, and I appreciate it.
You paid money for that.
Yeah. And PC users get the better end of the deal because they get Atlas from Portal 2, you know, the short, stubby one.
Not the Peabody.
Just in general, Valve is really good at sharing their
stuff. Yeah, Valve is very generous, and also they if they have a crossover like Team Fortress 2 hats or something, that usually directs a ton of attention to whatever game ties into it.
Yeah, actually, like, it's weird that there's almost no Valve things on this list, but like one of my favorite cameos is the it was a whole DLC, like Defense Grid, I think, is my favorite tower defense game. Mm-hmm. And they had a whole like chat, like 10 chapter DLC called You Monster.
It's essentially an expansion.
Yeah, it's really just an expansion where it's you fighting GLaDOS in Portal style stages.
Yeah, that might have been for
recorded a ton of new dialogue with her for it.
The potato event, is that what it was called? Where like a
potato sack thing. Yeah, yeah.
It was a potato sack thing. I have a token in my inventory from that, I think.
Yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Anyways, number one on this list should be obvious because we haven't mentioned it
already. Oh, wait a sec.
Oh.
I want to say one more
thing.
Back
the fuck down, Lucas.
Runner 2.
Henry is not done with Runner 2. If you're about to talk about Mario's voice.
Yeah, that was a stealth cameo. They hired Charles Martinet, the voice of Mario, Wario, Luigi.
I thought he had an exclusive contract with Nintendo.
But he appeared on there, but he, instead of giving him the name of narrator, like, he immediately introduced himself and says, like, it's me, Charles Martinet, and this
Charles
is Runner
Martinet.
2. Like, I don't know.
That
I like
get so tiring at parties.
I
record my voicemail as Wario.
Well,
yeah,
oh, my God.
Charles, just sit down and have a drink, man.
Wait, Cooper, you were at the Nintendo E3 thing.
Yeah.
Right? God, how did he keep up that energy? Like, for the 20 minutes before the Nintendo's E3 non-press event started, like, Mario was talking to us live, which was really just Charles Martinet talking into a microphone as Mario, and then a little Mario CG figure wiggles back and forth.
Yeah,
cocaine
but,
is
and, like,
a drug.
When he starts talking, he's like, hey, everybody, how you doing? You like E3? Hey, I know you. I like meatballs. Oh, Mario. and it's interminable for 2 minutes. And then after 5 minutes, he says, the show's going to start at 10 minutes. So anyway, how's everybody
doing? He spends
10
minutes just being like, hello, lady. You're a very nice lady. Okay. Oh, hello, Steven Totillo. Oh, I know you from the Kotaku. Like, just like fucking rambling about people in the audience. And it's like, he must be so sad right now.
But he loves it. Conan O'Brien made fun of him to like his face in their E3 video, like when he met him. Like, they said, here, look, we got a special guest. It's the voice of Mario, Conan. And, like, he did, like, 3 Mario catchphrases, and Conan was just like, you have to stop, please. you need to get a life, buddy. I'm sorry.
I've interviewed him, and he's the happiest man alive.
Yeah. So nice.
So number one on the list, Mario Galaxy 2.
Super Meat Boy. They were one of the first, still the best. So basically, Team Meat decided, hey, let's give shout-outs to all our favorite indie games. They included a buttload of secret characters, I think around 10 or 12.
Yeah.
And here's the great part. They all play insanely differently from Meat Boy himself. So, for instance, Tim from Braid, he can actually rewind time to go back, retrace his steps, as it were.
The Commander Video can hover.
Yes. Spelunky can use a bomb to rocket himself forward.
Can't one of the? Isn't there a Minecraft character that can?
There is. Mr. Steve can break levels by just hacking away at pieces of the environment.
Yeah, I've heard that it essentially breaks the game because almost any ending you can just get to by like digging a hole through the top and going the whole way around.
Oh yes, and
Headley the head crab can.
Yeah, he can. I think he like double jumps sort of.
Yeah.
Alien Hominids in there, Joseph from Machinarium's in there. It's all good stuff.
So it's the best indie crossover.
By far, I would say.
I think was your lead image the one from Meat Boy of everybody together?
Like, that
was your last image.
That was my last image. Right.
So Tom, which is your favorite one on the list?
I mean, in terms of actual gameplay?
No, I mean in terms of the best crossover.
Oh, the best crossover?
Yeah.
I feel like you're going to have to go with Super Crate Box on this one.
Okay, which one was that?
It was the one where all right, so the reason why I like Super Crate Box is because it has such a far-reaching kind of message to it, you know. You can really interpret it as really the truth about humanity,
mm-hmm.
but also the lies. And I feel like that's where the crossover comes in, because when you bring that crossover character in there, I don't need to say his name, when you bring him in.
Oh, the multiple characters, you mean?
Yeah. It really just reinterprets the whole thing. It makes it a completely different game.
I'm going to commit a murder-suicide after this podcast is recorded.
All right, so that's it for the first segment. We will be right back with segment two. All right, jumping right into segment two. Henry, let's jump into the news, starting with a wrestling thing.
Yeah, 30 years of WrestleMania mode coming to WWE.
Much more sterile than the last time we did it.
A wrestling thing.
Just let it ride. I don't know what the problem is. Tell me about WrestleMania.
Behind the scenes there. Yeah, wrestling. WWE 2K14. 30 years of WrestleMania, because next year is WrestleMania 30. Actually, this weekend, if you're listening to this on Saturday, right at this moment, I'm in L.A. Seeing the game for the first time. And they're gonna have some panel called with a bunch of superstars to show off the game and other stuff. I realize now I probably shouldn't talk about. But
I love how they always trot out superstars to every kind of. And I'm glad that now that Take Two has the franchise that they're still doing that.
Yeah, well, the fun thing about wrestling events is it's sort of like when you go to see a sports game and they bring out a famous player. Except those guys can be super mild mannered, mm-hmm. but when you meet the wrestlers in person, they're also having to act as their character when you meet them, and so it's like you're meeting your favorite TV star, but the actual fictional person in person, and they have to pretend. It's almost like Disneyland, like meeting Mickey.
It's
Mouse.
It's like you're meeting Mickey Mouse. Yeah. And Mickey Mouse isn't like Frank Costello from Upper New York. He's actually Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, he's actually Mickey Mouse.
Frank Costello. So would you?
I think that's a comedian.
Okay,
Henry. Would you be disappointed if you met one of your sort of big wrestling heroes and he was just like a nice normal guy and but in a wrestling arena, he's like an absolute animal.
Right. When Triple H is playing a heel for 6 months and you meet him and he's just like a sweet guy. That would be kind of heartbreaking.
I'm kind of used to that by now. I've read enough wrestling biographies that I like the real people more at this point and like to know. Or my favorite characters are the ones that, like CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, who one is a punk rock straight edge guy and the other is a vegan hipster. And they both kind of like melded their real life persona with their in-ring persona.
Speaking of WWE superstar something something whose name I don't know because he's not one of the people I watched when I used to watch, came out as gay earlier this week.
Darren Young, yes. Yeah.
Do you think that Darren Vince McMahon is going to force that into his persona in the ring?
I am scared of, honestly, what they do with that. They've been really cool about it since they announced it.
I could totally see in 6 weeks he's going to be like, Undertaker, I want to kiss you. And it's like, ugh. They're gonna go so far with it and make him embarrassed for the fact that he actually came out.
You watched WWE when I watched it, which was the Attitude Era, and we had Goldust.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm worried they're gonna force him good news announcing that you're Gold Dust now. You're Gold Dust's long lost brother something. Right.
Well, there was also Billy and Chuck. I don't know. That was a little after the Attitude Era. I don't know if you guys saw that. Uh-uh. They were a tough guy tag team who only in the under the thinnest of veils they were implied to be in a relationship.
What, were they super homophobic? No touch.
They acted with a certain effeminacy, yes. Oh. It's not, their portrayal of gay characters is not one I think GLAAD would be excited about.
Okay. But they weren't doing it in the aggressive homophobic way, right?
Well, they were supposed to be gay and they were cool with being gay, but it was to freak out the audience, and they were the bad guys because they were different.
Right.
Were we discussing earlier that they're making the vegan character who was just you were eating the flesh of animals, I was eating tofu.
Well, you were watching the Super Bowl, I was on a nature walk.
WWE likes taking politically correct things and making them the villain, and it's wonderful.
Well, so Billy and Chuck mounted.
What is it?
Bad word choice, Hank.
Is it Linda McMahon a hardcore Republican?
Yeah.
He likes money, and his wife ran as a Republican for Colorado Senate.
I said Linda.
You did.
Connecticut Senate. But anyway, the Billy and Chuck storyline.
Do you have wrestling? Do you do the wrestling thing?
Me personally,
he is not into it.
You're lanky, some good reach.
Yeah, but I'm sitting here and you can see I'm sort of this is all really sort of weird for me because I don't know anything about it, and it just sounds like you talking about some really awful movie or something like that. Like,
it's a soap opera.
Gold Dust sounds like some sort of B-list Bond villain. Yeah.
That's so, essentially what he was.
Yeah. Dude, I just watched the new Bond film, Skyfall.
Yeah,
hey, good-ass movie. Ago, what's up?
Good-ass movie, right?
Yeah, that movie is fucking awesome.
The best Home Alone movie ever.
I know, like, totally. So I watched Quantum of Solace, like, 2 weeks ago.
I'm
like,
sorry.
That was the worst Bond movie ever.
I'm really
ever.
Sorry for you.
Disappointing.
But I felt like I needed to watch it so that when I watched Skyfall, it would make perfect sense, but it would...
My wife was like, I really liked the one two ones ago, but I didn't see the one after it. Should I see the new one? And I'm like, I went on Wikipedia, and I'm like, there was oil, and then a girl died.
Mm-hmm.
End of movie.
Yeah.
It's all you need to know.
You can't necessarily say that about Quantum of Solace, though, because if you go back and look at some of the old James Bonds, like some of the late Roger Moore era stuff, I mean, that is creepy.
Yeah,
like,
there's
this old man chasing around these, like, underage girls, and it's basically, it just seems like a vehicle for him to have sex and with really attractive women.
Get these attractive women on set so that he can have sex with
them. Well, his last one, View to a Kill, that was the worst. Like, because he'd seem to be like 60 in that one.
Which is the one where he would dress like a clown and ran around like Venice. I feel like that was a James Bond movie.
I don't know.
And the Roger Moore ones.
Yeah. Well, Daniel Craig's getting kind of old. He's 45.
I like how this is his third movie, and the plot of this movie is you're way too old. Like, the first one was like, you're young and reckless. 7 years later, you're old and dying.
Yeah.
Well, I like seeing Ralph Fiennes have his real hair in a movie and no more of that wig stuff.
Is it Ralph or Ray?
I like that.
I thought it was Ralph.
No, it's Ralph.
No, you're thinking of Ra's al Ghul.
It's Ralph Fiennes, right?
It's Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah, Ralph.
Ralph?
Ralph.
Rafe.
It's like, do they use a capital I when they show it usually? I thought it was Ralph.
I don't know. I'm gonna keep calling him Ralph.
When he was nominated for the English Patient, everybody in America was calling him Ralph, and movie snobs were
correcting. That's a good name for a dog. Yeah,
Ralph. Yeah, there are a lot of British names that I feel like are good names for a dog. Like Heathcliff.
Should I be offended by this?
No, not at all.
That was my. I loved. I think Skyfall is my favorite Bond movie, but. Some people, like, they were annoyed that they're like, they were in all these cool locations, and then they just went back to London and had it just be boring old London.
Well, I mean, they have that, whoever the main villain is, Bernard or...
Javier Bardem.
Yeah. That guy is so creepy. I love his voice, but it freaks me out every time.
When he pulls out his teeth as well.
Yeah.
Creepy movie.
It's that kind of touch that's like, that's a fucking Bond villain. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a Bond villain, but also, I remember... Right after the movie, besides it being a Home Alone movie, it pretty much followed the same beats as Batman Begins, including just having like...
Well, The Dark Knight.
Or The Dark Knight, rather. Yeah.
And so is this Daniel Craig's last movie?
Movie?
As Bond?
No, I think he's got two more.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay. He's already signed on for the next one. They're bringing back the director, too.
Oh, that's good. Sam Mendes, I think, did it.
Yeah, that was great.
We got one of the names right. Me and you, together, nailing a name.
So, Darren Young is gay.
Yeah.
And wrestling. Other news story. Tom, I know you've been interested in this sort of thing, whether it's Google or, in this case, Amazon. But the story is Amazon is creating a game-playing media streaming TV device of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Rumors are it may actually be fairly powerful and that they're trying to court core developers to come make games for it. Do you think that Amazon has a shot at making this work?
I think that So they had the Kindle thing. And the Kindle thing has been... like their competitor to Apple and the iPad and all that sort. And the Kindle is very successful.
It's super successful.
It's super successful.
The iPad is still like the luxury vehicle.
Yeah.
And the Kindle is like, they've gotten the price low enough that when it's someone's birthday, it's like, oh yeah, I can get them a Kindle now.
Yeah. And Amazon just kind of makes it its business to just enter into industries that it has no business in and then just fucking everybody over
by ruining their day.
Just absolutely making everyone look like just idiots and assholes.
Yes.
And so I see no reason why they would fail. They have experience making technology. They already have like this crazy awesome distribution platform. So
yeah.
The games will be there immediately as soon as, you know, and the distribution and through the postal service.
Yeah.
So I was staring at the news ticker this morning on one of the news channels, and apparently is it Samsung that have released like a watch this morning that's like a tablet?
It's possible.
They announced that
released
it.
Seen that.
That's sort of pretty big news, isn't it? Like a watch that's
a tablet?
Yeah.
How does it even work?
I have no idea.
Is it like, that would be cool if it was like super sci-fi where it's like, it projects this hologram above your wrist, and then you kind of do one of these minority.
All right, so that's not what it is. I just looked it up real quick.
Insane,
apparently,
right?
It's the. It's going to be the name they're going with is the Galaxy Gear Smartwatch, which is in like the Samsung Galaxy platform.
GGS.
And as a proud recent purchaser of the Samsung Galaxy phone, I'm super excited for that.
Oh, good.
I'm ready for wearable technology. I'm ready to look like an asshole with the Google Glass.
So that thing, which looks like a,
that's probably
a
rather not
fetching
it.
Bangle.
Yes.
Would you wear that?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
I would wear any... I mean, well, that said, I'm a big fan of bangles in general, be it band or
really
outfits.
I did notice you were wearing a few today, you know?
Yeah, just wherever I can fit them, including places you can't see. But the thing I'm excited about wearable
bangle.
Tech... Yeah, the cock bangle.
You had to make the sub-text.
We have a show name now. What's the name
no
of this episode?
There's no sub in the text anymore.
But I'm so ready for, like, the Pip-Boy and for a wearable HUD. Like,
I want a wearable HUD.
I feel like... And, like, I like... Whenever I see, like, a news story where it's like, bars are banning Google Glass because they're dumb, and then all the commenters are like, good, fuck that. I'm like, yo, can I get one of those?
Yo, wearable HUD, man.
I will absolutely use one.
Yep.
If not just to look at porn during meetings.
I want to internet stalk a girl I pick up at the bar before I even have to talk to her to find out her name.
I want to look at her and be like, she has a boyfriend. Oh, she's 15. Walk away. Why is she even in this bar?
Goddamn.
Worst day ever.
Again.
caught it early this time, though. But no, I wonder if the smartwatches. I actually was reading that there's a somebody's making a first person shooter that works with Google Glass.
Really?
Which you'd have to imagine means that you're just going to shoot people.
I mean, that's one terrifying step towards actually believing you're playing a video game while you're actually shooting a lot of real people.
At least when you have the Oculus Rift on, like it's like.
There's a, you,
huge. I mean, and you're, it's not huge.
And you're, but you're also trapped in a seat. You can't like wander around the city with an Oculus Rift. Though I was hearing that they were one of the rumors, or I don't know if it was rumor, like they mentioned that they may want to make an Oculus Rift with cameras on the outside. Mm-hmm. So it would give you a live feed of what you're seeing, but it could just put like 3D models. It could
so
do
it's
augmented
AR and VR.
Yes.
The AR, VR.
We are screwed.
Yeah. It all scares me.
Because right now, when
Cue
you've got...
the sexy games.
Yeah, when it's just VR, it's like you're in a bout of paralysis.
Yeah, you kind of...
you kind of
look like a fetus flailing around inside of the womb is what you essentially look like with the Oculus Rift.
Right.
It's fun, though.
Yeah,
like being a fetus in the womb.
It'll make you barf.
Yeah, it all ties together.
Right.
So, has anyone else watched the Grand Theft Auto 5 online multiplayer trailer?
Well, it's Grand Theft Auto Online.
Yes.
Grand Theft Auto 5.
The only other game I can think that did that is Metal Gear Solid Online.
Yeah.
Although
that
worked
out so well.
It was okay. I remember you could drop porn magazines to distract people, which is the best idea ever.
It just had it was the typical Sony 2008 era stuff of sign up for the Konami thing first, then sign into PSN. And
yeah.
I think that GTA 5 is not doing that.
Yeah, but it's Grand Theft Auto Online. It's a persistent world.
Yeah.
And I was the more I watched it, the more excited I got, and the less I understood what I was watching.
APB? Is that what we're talking about here?
Except, and I don't know, because like they show like you can go customize the hell out of your character.
Yeah.
You level up, you get money, you can do missions. There are characters you interact with, and you can do co-op campaigns. And they kept saying it's a living, breathing world that will be persistent and that they'll continue to update.
Sounds a lot like what the Ubisoft are doing with The Division, but that's super next gen. So you sort of wonder how the hell are Rockstar actually getting all this stuff into like a PS3 and a 360?
Right.
I didn't think they were capable of. Like,
you'd have to imagine. My guess would be they've just have some really good server side tech. So it's like it's barely using the consoles to render the graphics, but everything else is on their side. If there's a company that could. Take Two isn't really releasing that many other games right now. Mm-hmm. They're kind of just
100 million off.
Yeah.
GTA 5.
So maybe they're just funneling a lot of that money into server support for Grand Theft Auto Online.
GTA 5 is so going to come out on next gen, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, we've been talking about it, and you wrote the feature, and it's a great point that I keep bringing up. It's like Bethesda, even like Square Enix, they're all just looking, they're just leaving money on the floor if they're not being like Tomb Raider Ultimate Edition. It's an HDR version. The PC version of Tomb Raider, PC version of Skyrim, PC version of Hitman looked a generation better on PC than they did on consoles. And it's very little, even if it's just a downloadable, to just release those on next-gen platforms. And you could see the same thing with Grand Theft Auto.
Well, I mean, I wonder what... Like, I personally have absolutely no idea what the process is of getting GTA 5 onto, like, an Xbox One. Like, is it like a... Do some lines of code at
it
the top.
It probably depends on the engine. Yeah, it probably depends on the engine, because I know, but I know Ubisoft's engines specifically are next gen engines that are essentially being scaled to current gen. Mm-hmm. Like the Anvil engine is one of the main reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons that Assassin's Creed 3 was so buggy is because, I mean, from what I've heard, is because it was essentially a next gen game that was pushed onto a current gen console, and that's like I bet you if Assassin's Creed 3 was a crazy success instead of just sort of a average success, they'd probably be considering doing the same thing for that. Like, hey, next gen Assassin's Creed, look how pretty it is.
I am curious to see how 4 is going to, like, the 360 version of 4 is going to stack up to the Xbox One version. Like, which one is. Is 4 just going to look like really crappy?
Well, I've already seen, like, Watch Dogs looks terrible on the Wii U. It looks awesome.
Well, I mean,
next gen stuff.
Yeah, that Wii U version is probably what the Xbox 360 and the PS3 version is going to look like.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I also am really tired of developers saying that they're not going to support the Wii U because it's not powerful enough when they're still making Xbox 360 versions of their games.
Yeah.
That still seems like a crazy thing to say to me.
Well, they just want to be nice when they really mean there's no install base and no one would buy this.
And we just don't want to spend time figuring it out.
Yeah.
Well, Activision, I think at least with Black, it was Black Ops 2, the last game, right? They all just go together for me. Anyway. They were open about it where they said, Nintendo fans always complain that we gave them crappy versions of Call of Duty. So we gave them a great version of Call of Duty on the Wii U. They still didn't buy it. So F you, Nintendo fans.
Activision CEO said F you, Nintendo fans.
Yep.
That's an actual thing that happened.
Somewhere.
Yeah. But not every company is saying F you to their fans. The Xbox or Microsoft. That's a segue.
Was that a segue?
It's a two-wheeled segue gyroscopes keeping it.
Kepler. Oh. You want to talk about Kepler?
I don't.
Because that's the thing. It's got two wheels left. NASA has sent out... Was that where you were going with this?
No.
Wow. On NPR this morning, I was hearing the Kepler telescope, it's orbiting the sun or whatever. It's officially shutting down because two of its four gyroscopic wheels are now offline, so it can't find planets.
I was talking about the Segway, which is also run by gyroscopes.
Two wheels. But no, so they put out this call. If you're a scientist, all right, and astronomy is your thing...
We have a lot of astronomers that listen to our show.
Send NASA your plan for what can be done with the Kepler Space Telescope now that it's only got two wheels.
I think that I want to see if we can hit it with something. Launch a rocket or just a rock. I want to see if we can just, like, can our scientists get that accurate? Can we, like, that's spinning around one thing, we're spinning around another, there's gravity of different things. Let's just see if we can, just shoot a rock or, like, I think it should be a brick.
We can start at Boulder. Let's start with Boulder size.
Yes, Boulder size, but not huge Boulder.
Right. Have you guys seen the trailer for Gravity?
Yes.
That looks awesome. Andy, have you seen Gravity?
I don't know what this is.
No.
The next Alfonso Cuarón movie, Duty to Children and Men. Looks awesome. Like
Involve launching boulders?
Well, sort of sci-fi. It stars George Clooney and Sandra Bullock, and they're just astronauts, and they're trying to fix stuff, and just like a tiny bit of debris, like just... fucks up their whole day, and like there's just this scene of Sandra Bullock is on like a space arm, and then it gets broken off, and she's just like spinning in space, and it looked very real of just like she can't get centered again, and she's just wiggling her arms impotently.
Bullock,
I'm gonna pull this one back into the video game orbit.
I mean, I still want to. I want to hypothesize whether
you did another good segue, and you're killing it. You're killing it.
I want to think.
So
about
the Xbox One is not going to need Kinect on
how
to function. Xbox One does not
That's
need the Kinect plugged
Have
in
they
at
done
all times.
Experiment yet?
To function. Andy, you wrote an editorial involving this. So do you think, and explain to our podcast listeners why it is or is not time for us to give Microsoft another chance with this thing? Because they haven't landed. Like, if this is the Olympics and they're running and they're going to do a vault, they fucked up the jump. Like, they stumbled onto the horse and tumbled. Do you think that they can land this?
Using that, speak only in
That's
terms
quite a
of
only in gymnastic
Olympics,
terms. Yes,
Olympic gymnastics.
I think they're heading for at least one broken arm.
Oh, okay.
For sure.
All right.
But what, will it be a twisted ankle a la 1990? Who was that?
Kerrigan?
No, not Kerrigan. She's the one who had her knee broken by that woman.
They're putting on a brave face, but they're hurting.
No, like, so on the ball, you know what I'm talking about.
They want to cry.
Yeah.
Carrie Strug, is that her name?
Maybe, where she does that vault. And
I remember that,
in,
actually.
Yeah.
She was,
that was
yeah.
a fine moment. In
so
American
Microsoft. Yeah.
Will they pull a Carrie Strug?
I think there's a lot of people have just said, oh, well, I was fine with the Xbox One to begin with. And I think there's a real sort of vocal minority of the ones that were sort of picking apart some of the features. And you're never going to please them, because the new hating Xbox One is hating Microsoft's U-turn.
Yeah, that bandwagon is going so fast right now. Yeah. It's hard to jump off.
Just getting whiplash.
So I don't think Microsoft aren't going to sell Xbox One launch day to the people who complained about it in the first place, I don't think. I think those same people in 2 years' time will be absolutely eating up the new Halo. Because they'll be like, oh, Halo's out on Xbox One, I've got to get one.
And they'll forget that they hated it because of stuff that doesn't even exist in the system. Like, man, you know what sucked? When they talked about sports 2.5 years ago instead of Halo. Oh, so there's a new Halo out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that said, like, I was not with them on the initial U-turn on the whole used game business. Like, I think that they should have kept all that intact.
Or at least met halfway.
Yeah. But this one needed to happen, because this is fucking crazy. Like, this is actually, like, I don't know, and I've said this, like, multiple times this week, but how they ever thought it would be a good idea in the state that we live in now, like with the NSA everywhere and Microsoft giving up all sorts of information, Google saying you have no reasonable expectation of privacy with your Gmail, the idea that they would be able to get away with this idea of putting a camera in your living room that is always on.
Or else you can't use their product, which will not use the camera for anything you care about.
Right, and they've already acknowledged that they're going to be scanning your living room trying to find things that they can then sell you on.
Like, they'll be like, oh, you have a copy of Downton Abbey. We should we should promote this other TV show to you and this little
bulldog that you might want to buy.
God, I would love to. Like the wrestler British Bulldog?
I mean, he's available.
He is dead.
Is he?
Oh, he's dead. He's not available.
Wow.
It's good that you caught that now so that we wouldn't have to.
That's right, yeah.
There's a reasonable expectation that half of the wrestlers you've heard of are dead.
There's a radio show I listen to that they have a wrestler death watch, and they'll like do like a countdown, and it'll be like, and whenever a wrestler dies, the first thing they discuss is how often it's been. And like, there was a time like 2 years ago where I think it was like every month, like they couldn't make it 30 days without a wrestler dying from a heart condition.
What radio show is this?
It was Opie and Anthony.
Really?
No, it's well, they only talk about it for the 3 minutes.
Oh, okay.
That
it
a wrestler
is
dies.
One of the most
no.
It's not like wrestler
most
death
radio
watch.
Shows around.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were all doing cocaine and steroids and every
steroids.
Other drug.
But, yeah.
This isn't Microsoft. This is wrestling.
We can't. Well, we can say for sure that wrestling was, but we don't know that about Well, I mean, Microsoft in the 80s, we could probably.
Yeah. Probably. Have you seen how skinny Bill Gates was?
Yeah. He bulked up quick.
Coke.
How did he go from being a skinny executive to breaking the home run record? That doesn't make any sense.
I'm happy to see the Kinect go away, but it's still, I was never, I will probably never plug it in now unless they make something that's really, something very compelling to plug it in.
Can I talk about, is there an embargo on everything that we already, the Ubisoft stuff? Can I talk about that? I can't
talk
about
that. No, you can't. You really can't.
Never mind.
But with the Kinect.
I didn't say anything compromising.
That's fine. No, you're good.
If I'm never going to plug it in, then I'm still buying this thing I'm never going to use,
and it's $100. Like that is $100 onto the price.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not
just for a thing that is designed to sell you adverts and invade your home.
Yeah,
so thanks for that.
Right. Yeah,
but yeah, sorry, carry on.
No.
Oh, okay.
You wrote the editorial. I want to hear more.
Right. Okay. Well, the other thing I think is that although Microsoft have pulled all these U-turns, said, "Oh, we'll get rid of that, guys. It's fine. You know, this is okay. We're good old Microsoft." A quick software update, and it's all back in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to do a software update to add back in many of the things they got rid of. I do think that they're eventually going to sell a cheaper SKU. Like, it's $100 cheaper. It needs Kinect in all the time because, Well, security.
I can't wait until like they launch it, and then there it comes with like this giant like EULA or disclaimer or whatever. And as soon as you're plugging in, you've of course agreed to everything.
Did you nod eventually?
And then
yes.
Somewhere in that EULA is like, oh, by the way, at some later date, we reserve the right to be able to say you have to plug this in.
We need to remember to read that EULA and write an article about it. Yeah. It's going to be a good EULA.
It's going to be.
Is it going to be a eulogy?
Oh,
for personal privacy.
Oh.
And states' rights.
That was a pun.
Why would give Microsoft?
I just written the headline. Now.
I would give Microsoft credit for like doing their best to right the ship, doing all these things before launch. Mm. Like that, I would definitely
but
say.
They're
like,
responding to. I mean, I feel like what Andy said was right. They're responding to the wrong people. Like these are these are trolls. They're responding to internet trolls. They're adjusting their business based on the input of internet trolls.
The same trolls who are currently typing into the comments field in this very article.
The same people
saying,
that...
How dare you call me a troll?
Right. Yes.
Never buying an Xbox One.
Yeah. It's the same people. It's essentially like building a system around people who write first at the top of YouTube comments.
Right.
It doesn't really gain you anything. See, I wrote some angry editorials about Microsoft's launch, the way they promoted it, but I never really had a problem with... obviously I had a certain problem with it, but I'm probably going to leave that Kinect plugged in. I don't really care. I was fine with the used game stuff. I just had a problem with the fact that they, up until recently, tried to pretend like they weren't doing that. Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, the system, it's not always online. You don't need to Kinect in all the time. Oh, you want to play games? Well, then it's always online and you need to Kinect. Like they just lied about the fact that it was exactly what everyone thought it was going to be. Well, and now it's not.
They just didn't seem to know what their messaging was up to E3. And then
didn't they get rid of the guy who was in charge of all
this
stuff?
Yeah, Don Matrick. Yeah.
Well,
somebody else too, right? Like the
Matrick's the only one I know.
Didn't they have who's their head of marketing or sales? I thought they got rid of that guy as well.
I don't know.
Matrick's the only one I know of, but he left. But I mean, they didn't even get rid of him. He took more money to work at
Zynga.
To work at Zynga,
himself even more of an internet pantomime villain.
It's like, oh, you think you hate me now?
Well,
but yeah, I think like Sony when they Sony screwed up the PlayStation 3 at launch, like. It took them about 3 years to fix things.
Yeah,
so.
And Microsoft's at least doing it before the system comes out.
Mm. But it's still a $500 machine. Like, that's way too much.
And well, maybe. Because they might say, hey, guys, you can just buy the console. Because they've got... I reckon they might say that at Gamescom.
Maybe. You think so?
Yeah.
Wow.
They might Gamescom.
Say, do you know
hey,
how...
Hey, you don't need Kinect to run this machine. Oh, in fact... How would you just like to buy the machine for $399?
I bet you they won't do that because they know that without getting that Kinect into every room, they're not going to be able to get developers to make Kinect-only games, and they want Kinect-only games.
I wonder if they're starting to realize that people don't necessarily want Kinect games.
What's that in the...
If there's that nagging little thought at the back of their head saying... did we do the wrong thing with Kinect? Did people really want it?
It sold really well, though, didn't it?
Also, with the price thing, isn't it, like, for here it's $100 difference, but in, like, the UK, isn't it, like, a wider...
£80, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, $120,
$130. Jeez. Yeah. Well, that was one of my...
used to pay more for stuff.
People
like that.
Didn't talk much about that moment of the Sony press conference, but I liked it when the, I think it was Andrew House... When he was saying the prices, he made a point of saying, like, to my friends back in the UK, they're only paying this much. Like, that it was a better exchange rate on the PS4. I think at Gamescom they're going to announce the release date for PS4. PS4 at least. I think so.
Sony has a track record of making announcements like that at Gamescom.
At first I was thinking they were going to wait for TGS, but nah, I think it's going to be Gamescom. And then Microsoft will just kind of stand back and... decide like they've been letting Sony go first with most of this stuff. So.
Well, Microsoft are going first at Gamescom.
Oh yeah,
yep. I bet you. I do not see I'm making a lot of bets that I can't pay up, but I don't see Microsoft announcing their release date before Sony.
No. Well,
they don't. They can't. Yeah. They can't do it. They can't lose that game again.
Well,
they've already said that the Xbox One isn't coming out in half of Europe essentially, probably because they haven't got enough models.
Yeah, they must have to go to like Gamescom with like hat in hand to all the European fans to be like, well, sorry, it's not coming to Switzerland and Denmark and
Yeah, I really have I'm really interested to see how Gamescom goes.
Yeah.
Has there been any Gamescom leaks so far that you know of?
Well, I don't know. I am sort of fairly tired with jet lag, and I do know things that are happening at Gamescom that I don't know whether they've been talked
Shut
about
your mouth.
Or not.
That's fine. So we don't want to risk it.
I'm going to keep quiet.
Instead
just
of
say
that,
nothing.
We introduce.
Yes.
One.
Lorenzo Valoria.
Hello.
Entering the
Can
room.
You hear me?
For the first time.
I think so. Can you talk a little more?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, we can
what's
hear
up,
you now.
Everybody? Yeah,
we
here now.
We brought you in because you can talk about Call of Duty, right?
I can talk about Call of Duty because they had a live stream that announced
everything.
And
That's been happening
there.
A lot recently.
Yeah. It's as if we're being made irrelevant.
But yeah.
Do I have a sound effect for us being irrelevant?
Womp womp.
So yeah, what did you play?
So they had us jump into the multiplayer. It wasn't a full-fledged multiplayer thing where we could, you know, start from level one, level up, and get all our earn our own weapons and stuff. They kind of had like
a
set thing.
Did you IM him to get him in here?
Yeah, yeah. He did.
Oh,
no, we just sent out telepathic.
Nice. I used
wow,
the Shining.
He showed up surprisingly. At the correct time. Yes. And then I'm
Segway
like,
King
ooh.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
I'm the Segway
King. I'm the Segway King. And then Tom is just clotheslining me.
I'm the ruiner of
you
all
You are
things.
The rock under the wheel of my Segway.
Carry on. Sorry.
Anyways. So they let us play with like 10 guns, 3 maps, the female characters.
What?
You said everyone played as the female characters, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's funny because the trailer, it shows right at the end that the sniper taking out everybody in the trailer is a female. And since there's a lot of, you know, customization going on, they decided that, you know, why not let the girl players be girls or the dude players be girls and whatever. But as soon as he jumped into a match...
I'm a man and I know I'm a man.
I was thinking the same damn thing.
But as soon as we jumped into the first match... everybody was just a female soldier because, of course, you need to try it out.
Right,
but
as it would turn out, exactly the same.
Yeah.
Just a quick question on this: like in Call of Duty, you play as like a gun, don't you? Like a gun on the end of a stick,
basically.
Right.
So, what does it matter? What's behind it? So I mean, you can't see you.
I guess in the replay,
you could see in the replay that a chick's getting gunned down.
Plus, how much more embarrassing is it if a girl kills you? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
There's always
also
the main reason behind it. Yeah. So
the element
of humiliation.
Seeing a woman and then shooting her dead.
Yeah. It's for two reasons. If you get killed by a woman, you're supposed to feel shame as a man. Yeah. If you kill a woman, you are the scum of the earth. Right. So
that was, I know that was.
So I was supposed to feel bad when I killed.
That was a catch-22 when they did it in Gears, where I know the devs said something to the effect of like, well, people didn't like that we excluded women, but now you can chainsaw a woman in half. Like, is that what they wanted? Like,
yeah.
Are you not entertained?
So how did the – and there were new game modes? Can you talk about those? Those sounded super fun.
Search and Rescue was one of them, which is basically like the Search and Destroy game mode, which is kind of the Counter-Strike – basic. Can you hear me at all?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like the Counter-Strike mode where there's one team trying to plant a bomb, the other team has to defuse it or kill the other, the opposite team. But the twist with this is once a player dies, they drop a dog tag, kind of like the kill
confirmed.
Kill confirmed. Yeah. So if a team member picks up that dog tag, you could respawn. But if an enemy picks up the dog tag, then you're eliminated. So it's a little bit
so
extra,
it's, yeah, Counter-Strike, you know. Except everyone has a life.
Yeah, and
they
well,
not literally
a
life,
a
like
yeah.
a second chance at respawning.
And then there was Cranked, which is...
Is it actually called Cranked?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I mean, like the movie.
Yeah.
But, so
is
with this...
Is the movie
it's,
where Michael Statham, like...
Jason Statham.
Yeah, he's got...
That was close, right?
Doesn't he have, like, a...
Michael Statham. Michael Statham.
Michael Statham is the linebacker for the Giants or something.
Michael... Yeah, that guy.
Isn't it Statham?
I don't fucking know.
I think it's...
What is that? Andy? What is the premise of that movie?
How do you pronounce Statham.
Statham. I always feel like I'm fucking up.
So Cranked.
It should be Cranked.
The mode Cranked.
It's basically...
What you're hungry for.
Team deathmatch. But when you kill a person, you have 30 seconds to kill another person before you explode.
This is the best thing I've ever heard.
I like that.
Yeah, so it is fun. That's about it. There's three maps. Maps were pretty cool. There was a stadium one, which was really close quarters, real fast paced. What else? A wide open snow area. It was like a small snow town.
And were you playing on PCs?
I had an Xbox One controller, but I'm
probably plugged in.
How
did it look? Did it look a generation up, or did it just look like playing on the PC?
It looked like I was playing on like my PC at home, which is more powerful than an Xbox 360. The graphics looked a lot better. A lot of the particle effects were a lot better than what you see in the current gen. But it wasn't really anything that was like, whoa, this is next gen. I mean, like when we first saw like the Killzone demo at the PS4 announcement, that was a little more.
That was
jarring.
A whoa next gen.
Yeah,
moment.
That was a jarring situation. But this was more like, oh, this is Call of Duty. That's a little more crisp and got nicer effects and stuff.
Yeah. But that's it.
And the ragdoll physics and stuff were a little bit better. Like,
really,
if you shotgun a guy coming around a corner, they'll fly back with their arms forward and their feet.
I feel like in other Call of Duties, it was almost like canned animations that kicked into ragdolls. Like the ragdolls were never great.
A little bit, yeah. This one is more like traditional ragdoll where they kind of collapse and like sometimes there's like an arm that was.
Oh man, we're getting back to like 2006 ragdoll effects. I'm so ready for that.
Yeah.
Like when you'd shoot somebody and they'd do a backflip and their leg would clip through their body.
Yeah.
I am super pumped.
Well, I like when their leg like would just keep flopping up and down as they were down.
Yeah, I didn't see too much of that, but it was more like that. It wasn't the canned death animations as much.
What was the stadium map?
It was a baseball stadium. It was just
it
really
sounds small. Intriguing. I don't know why. I'm just imagining a bunch of snipers in the rafters.
This was actually really confined to like a concession stand area.
Oh, okay.
So I was really imagining
being on the baseball field.
It's more of
that would be the worst place to be.
Yeah, it's more of like the outside. And
pretty
there's
sure
like
there's a
TF2
map like that.
Yeah, but also with the maps, each of them have like triggers that you could like triggers for traps, or you could blow up walls, or even unlock a kill streak that will completely change the entire map. So, like it'll drop a bomb and the bomb will blow up everything. It didn't actually happen to me in the multiplayer. It's pretty hard to do. You have to do these I forget what they're called. They're like field tasks.
I mean, is this like a la the Battlefield 4 building collapsing kind of thing?
Kind of. Yeah, it's a little bit like that because it completely changes the whole layout of the map. So. It's really interesting. The whole color scheme changes to like apocalyptic red skies and stuff.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
cool. So are you? Do you think it's going to be better than Blops 2's multiplayer?
Hard to say because I didn't really get to play with too much other than what they kind of confined us to. I really want to play around with the loadouts and the customization a lot more. But as far as the maps go, the maps were pretty fun, and you know a lot was varied. There's a verticality in a lot of them, and they seem just a lot more intricate than some of the Blops maps and Modern Warfare 3 maps, or the stock ones at least. But I'm excited to see what else they have to offer.
Awesome, and you can check out a preview of that on GamesRadar.com.
Blops is a difficult word to get around.
It is. It's a rough one.
I would just say Black Ops.
Yeah?
That has a nice ring to it.
I used to hate Blops, but
Blops 2.
I only have so much time.
Black Ops.
On this world.
Black Ops is a good word. I don't know. I mean, it's several words.
It's hyphenated, I think. Is it hyphenated?
No.
No?
No.
All right, well, then I'm
black
an asshole.
Ops.
Black Ops.
Ops that are black.
Wow. Well, had to bring race into it. All right. So that's it for the second segment. We're going to take a quick break and come back with the community segment. Welcome back to the third and final segment of Radio Radar Episode 51, now with Extra Andy.
Yep, still here.
And it's the community segment, but we also have some other segments we're adding to the third segment. First of all, we have to introduce our newcomers to this podcast. We have
Greg Haniger
and Ryan Teljanik.
Lucas and Henry had to go off, and
I'm still here.
Tom's still here.
Nobody cares.
What is that line from Three Amigos? I'm still here, la wapo.
Is that it?
Nobody knows what you're talking
about. I think that is the line, yeah. I love that movie.
And then I immediately get shot.
Of course. Let's jump into
the... It is a good fucking movie.
Great movie.
It is. Yeah. It's a really good movie.
You can tell it's a male plane. It's two little balls.
Oh, my God.
I've seen that movie like 100 times. It was the only VHS we had.
The only one?
We had that in Cocoon.
So let's jump into reviews first before we... before we go,
I really like old people, got to preserve them, however possible.
Reviews first off. Before we jump into the community stuff, Ryan, you reviewed a bunch of games this week.
Yeah,
you've been busy.
Been a busy boy.
That was intense.
Let's start off with Saints Row 4.
Oh my God, my mic is breaking.
You're fine.
Okay,
power through it.
Saints Row 4, very much like Saints Row the Third, except you can basically super spin around the city, jump 3,000 feet in the air, and fly around. And it's
I can't think of a worse way you could have introed that review.
This comes
from somebody who can't intro anything.
That's very true. No, it's very, very fun game. I think its main draw is in the powers. If it had been the same exact game that it is without the powers, I don't think it would have been quite as good as people were hoping.
Yeah, when they announced it, I was kind of worried because it just sounded like... Originally, they didn't really go deep into the superpowers, and then when you actually play it, you're like, oh, it's actually just Crackdown.
Yeah, no, it's super, super fun just to even, like, you know, as I mentioned in the review, like, just the act of running around. You don't have to do anything else aside from just sprint and jump, and, like, that alone is just really, really fun.
Never get into a car?
Yeah, kind of after you get the ability to sprint, you go way faster than cars can drive.
And you get
that ability right
away.
Yeah.
Can you pick up cars and throw them around? Like
you can get, like, you have, like, a telekinesis spell, is that what that's called? Use your head.
Telekinesis, you're good.
You pick up cars and you launch them that way. You don't physically lift them with your hands or anything. But
mind bullets, Holmes.
Yeah, yeah. But, no, you can pick up pretty much anything in the game and toss it around with just the power of your head.
Yeah. I used to play Crackdown 2 in co-op with a friend. I used to play car tennis. Throw the car to the other person and they pick it up and throw it back.
Yeah, a huge Crackdown inspiration.
And John and I played some of the co-op only challenges, which are some of them were kind of okay. Like one of them was this, like, where both of you have all the superpowers and you're just basically doing a death match. But that kind of was just us running away from each other and the other person could never.
So many of the abilities are disables, like they'll stun your opponent, and it just ended up being us stunning each other at the same time, and kind of just ended up almost playing out like a Dragon Ball Z battle where it was not as entertaining as you'd think it would be. It was just kind of us throwing beams at each other, and we'd both just stand there for a few seconds waiting for it to recharge,
or one would run and the other would chase, and that was just pretty much all that happened.
It was more fun to just do the missions.
But no, it's really fun, and the humor I think was still pretty well done. I don't know. I didn't find there to be quite as many memorable, like, story missions. A lot of it was kind of like, go run around and do a series of challenges and then come back to this hub area that's separate from the simulation that you're in to turn them in. And it's like that kind of broke up the pace a little bit. And, you know, it's just you keep thinking about the really cool airplane escape in the Saints Row the Third, or when the Morningstars take over the mansion, you have to kind of fight them off. And this one certainly had some really cool missions, but not quite as many.
It was funny. I mean, it had a good soundtrack.
To Saints Row 4 is so weak compared to Saints Row 3.
Yeah, well, the entire game is kind of built up as a parody of others, and it was really funny to see them kind of pretend to be a self-serious shooter, like in the vein of Call of Duty or Battlefield, and there's like a slow-motion door breach and all these really goofy things, and then, of course, this beautiful song plays climb a nuke and disable it by punching its wires to death.
Before that bit, like, it's almost like they didn't go far enough with the hyperbole on the, like, the serious first-person shooter.
Because at first it's just a little confusing as to why it is so... normal.
Yeah. It's like they needed to do, like...
It was only like 5 minutes of that, though.
Yeah, it's longer than 5 minutes.
For that opening, when you're actually controlling it, it's... I can't imagine it's much more than 5 minutes.
So it's actually a first-person shooter at the beginning.
Yeah. Okay. No. And third-person.
Well, it's a third-person shooter.
Oh, I mean, like the rest of the game.
No, but it's a third-person shooter like a Ghost Recon game. Like,
it's a shooter.
You're actually like, you're fighting counter-terrorists and staying frosty and breaching doors. Like, it's full-on, it feels like you're playing a Ghost Recon or something like
kind
that.
Kind of tip that it's being a little, like, tongue-in-cheek with it is when you breach that door and it goes slow-mo. It just doesn't kick out of slow-mo until you've shot everyone.
Yeah.
And even then, it's like, well, is that just Are they making a shitty game, or is that... No, I guess it's a joke. That was
dumb. It's fair enough if you do that in like the first game of the series, or maybe the second, but people kind of know what they're getting with Saints Row 4, so it's less of a funny thing. Because oh, I know we're doing all this now, and it's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, but I feel like Saints Row...
always gets start hitting people with a bat shaped like a cock,
Yeah, exactly.
And it takes a little bit. I mean, what you get your powers probably by hour and a half in, and once you kind of get to that point, it's exactly kind of what you would want from it.
But that always drives me nuts, where like, because an hour and a half before the game gets fun is too long.
I thought it was fun. Before then, it was just a lot like Saints Row the Third. It was just a traditional open-world game. It didn't, I mean, getting powers changed it totally, but you had, I mean, especially because the beginning was, it was a lot of silly set-piece kind of stuff.
Well, right. No, I mean, the first hour and a half is literally just all the parody stuff where you, you are doing these straightforward kind of things. So you don't even get to, like, the open world until about an hour.
But I don't think it was unfun up to there. I was laughing out loud for that entire, for a majority of it.
It had some good laughs. But, yeah, I mean, essentially Saints Row the Third, but now with superpowers and less interesting enemies. I guess that was one of my biggest complaints, too, was, you know, the gangs in Saints Row the Third had a lot of personality to them. There were the Luchadors and the Deckers and the Morningstar, and each was very distinct, and they all had their own outfits and drove their own kind of cars and had very, I don't know, kind of compelling leaders that were fun to fight. Whereas the aliens are just kind of bland and generic. They don't ever say anything, really. They just shoot you with lasers. And their leader's funny and poetic and kind of interesting.
But there isn't another single funny villain. It's
just him. So I felt a little disappointed in that. It would have been funny even to section the aliens off in a unique game. Because they could have done some crazy stuff with that.
But, yeah.
And it just seemed very, I don't know, disconnected from the tone of the rest of the game. So.
Yeah. That's the part that I think the fact that it was DLC was probably the strongest, where they just needed to end up, and they ended up just reusing a lot of characters from previous games and using like the same alien for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Score did you end up giving it?
We gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah. Very fun. And another game that we actually gave a 5 out of 5.
Ooh. Gone Home.
Gone Home.
Snuck up on all of us.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, this was.
I was looking through my email, like, how did we even come across this game?
I mean, I've heard. I remember hearing really good things about it for a few weeks. I just didn't know that it was coming out now.
So soon, right?
So I feel like we really can't talk much about it without.
Yeah, it's kind of a hard game. It's one of those kind of very exploration-driven games where the enjoyment comes out of discovering what it is. So you can't really talk about it too much without giving a lot of that away and kind of ruining some of that experience. But I mean. You know, the basic gist is you play as a young woman who just recently came home from a year of studying abroad. You come back to this new house that your family had moved into, and nobody's there. And you're just trying to piece. It's really cool because you're walking through knowing nothing about her or her family, and you're piecing together what their life was like and where they are and what's going on with all of the characters in the game just by exploring the house, finding objects. And
finding notes and it takes place in like 94, so it's before emails. It's like there's letters you'll find and stuff. And
again, we can't really dive into specifics, which is tough. But it handles some very mature subject matter very, very well and tastefully.
Yeah,
and I think that is a lot of the reason people seem to love this game so much is because. It is just refreshing, I think, to see a game tackle some of those things that it does.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to me because I was watching Henry play the game and it just looked boring as fuck.
Yeah. It's a game where you're walking around a house and you're alone. That's essentially if you're one of those people who plays like a game like To the Moon and you're like, well, the gameplay wasn't very good, you're not going to like this because it is a game that's a story driven game. Yeah. And that said, it's a game that I'd argue could not have been done in any other medium.
Yeah, again, it's like the interaction part is so key, and
it's hearing, also 2 hours long, right?
Yeah, it's pretty brief.
Two and a half, three.
Yeah, I think it took me probably 2.5. And John and I were talking about this earlier, but I think especially for this kind of game, like it is one that your reaction to it is going to depend so heavily on how much you any of those characters and the things that they're going through. Is something that resonates with you on a very personal level. Because I think for a lot of people who have had anything in common with any of the characters in this game, none of which you ever actually meet, but you get to know just through this stuff in the house, I think if you connect to any of them, that really kind of enhances your enjoyment of the game.
Yeah. Though I think we have to stop there because we're even getting close right now. Okay. So if you're interested in experimental kind of games, definitely get it.
How much is it?
It's $20 on Steam.
Whoa. It's $10 an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I found it worth it.
And it's on Steam. It'll be like $3 in 2 weeks.
Yeah, true.
But it's worth giving that developer money for doing an experimental, not experimental, like really super weird and wacky, right. But experimental as in
after
like
all, just like a point and click adventure.
It's essentially a point and click adventure. Mm-hmm. That's a really easy way to describe it. But yeah, definitely check it out. And the other big review this week, Splinter Cell Conviction.
Yeah.
That's not right at all.
No, Splinter Cell Blacklist. You're
Splinter
close.
Cell Blacklist. I wrote Conviction down because I'm an asshole.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Well, I think a lot of the biggest problems a lot of people had with Conviction who were really in love with the older Splinter Cell games was its kind of action-heavy focus. And not only that, but also the fact that it kind of forced you into one play style, really. You kind of had to shoot everybody in your path. You could try and sneak around some of them, but if you were going to take anyone out, there was only one way to do it, and that was to kill them. And so now in Blacklist, I think Ubisoft did a great job of opening that up a bit more. A lot of the levels are still designed to be a bit more set-piece driven and a bit heavy on the action, but the way that they've designed their upgrade system this time allows you to kind of either pick one of two setups. You can either go either all in on stealth or kind of all in on combat. And if you go the stealth route, you really have to play stealth because if you get caught in a firefight, you take two shots and you're dead. You can't really fight your way out of it.
There's three different play styles in there.
Yeah,
Panther.
Right. So Panther's the mix of stealth and which is often how I tend to play stealth games. Like I'll try and be stealthy as long as I can, but if I get caught, I like to try and blast out. And
so
I,
like the entirety of Last of Us.
Yeah, basically.
Or
yeah.
Like every Hitman. Like for me, it's how I play Hitman. It's like I'm gonna sneak up to the I'm seen. Everyone's getting headshotted.
Yeah,
every single person.
I would say though that Panther is tough to play in the sense that you can kill the people before they see you, or even if one or two are around and they catch you, you can still gun them down pretty easily. But if you get like three or more guards in an area and they catch you, hopefully you have time to run away, but if you don't, you're pretty much going to die. And so I think a lot of people will appreciate that you do have the option to play it very much like a traditional Splinter Cell game, if that's what you were really into.
Now, Ryan, how do you feel about the new Sam Fisher?
Because I think
he's a douche.
Yeah, no,
I
appreciate that he sounds more like what I would envision of a badass spy guy who's doing all these things that he's doing, but he doesn't have much personality. He only had one tone the entire time he talks, and is like, I'm very serious, Sam Fisher. You're going to do what I want you to do. And, like, that's the only tone he ever has when he speaks. And so it kind of was a little
it was all very 50 Shades of Grey there for a second.
I got kind of turned on. I'm not going to lie.
Well, maybe you should play Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Oh, yeah.
I thought at times he was a convincing character, but I often felt he was a little – he just sounded off to me.
And his supporting cast are a bit. Well, they're all cliches, aren't they?
Yeah, they
all
are.
It's like, there's the sexy commander lady, and there's the
smart tech kid.
Yeah, the nerdy tech kid who's got all the jokes.
Yeah. And he did have all the jokes, really. Yeah. It's funny.
His mentor who's like, you know, gets nearly killed at the start of the game.
And he gets mad because you won't take him on missions with you. There was a lot of weird drama. And another thing was, like, you could call your daughter from your base of operations in the Paladin. You could be like, hey, Sarah, what's up? It's your dad, Sam. Just stopping some terrorists. And it was really weird because he was, like, telling her full mission details over the phone. I'm, like, pretty sure that's not something that
you
could do.
We're going to drop in on the roof. If you go to Google – are you near a computer? Just go to Google Maps. Type in this address. Yeah, that roof
and
right there. No, not that one. That's a Chick-fil-A.
And it's like, you know what they were trying to do. You know that they were trying to convince you that Sam is not just a hardened spy. He's a family man, and
right.
I don't particularly care for him the way that he was.
No, I've played about a couple of hours of it, and that was when they were setting up his character and bringing in another character who was supposed to like create tension and It just sort of fell flat. I just kept thinking, where's Michael Ironside? Stop trying to put a story in this. Just make it really super serious, like spy stealth game. Like, I love the option to play however you like. That is really good. And, like, when you're actually playing it, it's really, really good. It's just loads of fun. It's just all the story stuff sort of slows it down a little bit. You just want to sort of so sneak around people thing, and snap necks and stuff.
One thing I did like, though, was I did like the story setup and like, this terrorist series of terrorist attacks that you kind of have to stop. And I at times did feel like, even though you know there is no timer ticking down and you can play it however the hell you want, you can not even start the next main story mission for 3 hours. If it doesn't matter. The engineers aren't going to destroy anything. But it's like, if it did for me at least create this tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of I don't know.
Just that you have Harley Davidson's
I told you this many times. I didn't pay close enough attention to my lenses or my frames when I bought them.
They're Harley Davidson.
Oh, shut up.
They got nice little flames next to the
Here
eye.
You go. Take a gander.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You're badass.
No, I get in a lot of bar fights with these, and I win most of the time.
So, and the multiplayer.
I thought the multiplayer was really fun. The co-op missions were really cool. There's a couple different kinds. One of them is like this wave-based thing. Another one is this really, really hard. If you even get seen once, the mission's over, and there's no checkpoints. Like, that one was really pretty grueling. But
how long have you had these
glasses? Tom, I swear to God. I've had these glasses. Let's see. I don't know. Probably
a year.
I remember
you telling us specifically in the elevator, like on the way to lunch, you're like, guys, let's just get this out of the way. I'm wearing Harley Davidson.
Sooner or later, somebody's going to notice, and they're going to point it out at an inopportune time. That's why I did that, Tom. You've known this. We've had this discussion.
So, Spies versus Mercs?
That conversation.
Spies versus Mercs is really fun, too. I love how tense it is. It's one thing to, you know, try and stay stealth when you're up against computer-controlled enemies, but trying to do it against players that are actively searching for you is an entirely different thing. That's really fun. Shut the fuck up, Tom!
So what score did you give it?
That one also got a 4 out of 5.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's. So that's it for reviews. We
He's
have some
crying over there. He's crying in the corner.
We have some pretty big reviews going up over the next week or two, I think. Do we?
I think.
I have one going up on Sunday. I don't think we can talk about it.
No.
I can say I'm playing it.
Yeah, sure.
I think.
As far as I know.
What was the game?
Disney Infinity.
You can't talk about that.
I can.
No, he can say he's playing it because it's past the 14th.
Yeah, that's what it said. I'm playing Disney Infinity. I got a bunch of toys at my desk, and I'm after this podcast, I'm going to play it some more. But we have to go on to the community segment now.
My favorite.
Starting off with
corrections. Clarifications, retractions, acknowledgments, and apologies.
I will eventually have a sound effect for all of those. Yeah. For now, I'm just going to play the explosion. Because that's the best.
Yeah, yeah. We made this fuck up a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
We vehemently insisted that Leslie Nielsen was in fact deceased.
Well, we know. We thought
he was alive.
And I remember Lucas
just being a loaf about. Just not doing anything.
A loaf.
You actually went to his Wikipedia page, I think. and Lucas specifically said, I'm going to be very sad when Leslie Nielsen dies.
So, I was sitting in my hotel room listening to that episode. Screaming at the computers, like, are you guys insane? He died in 2010.
Apparently he died. He is dead.
Wait, who's Leslie Nielsen?
Leslie Nielsen.
He's the father of Roy Nelson, Airplane? The UFC fighter.
Airplane, you heard of it? Airplane?
No, I've heard of neither of those things.
Naked Gun, you heard of it?
Brother of Steven Tyler?
Nope.
Yep.
Not ringing any bells.
All right. Well, he's dead, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's as if he never existed. No. Yeah.
All right, moving on to another new segment. Fans of old Talk Radar may recognize this jingle.
That's not a bad jingle.
Game Deals is back, and we have a bunch of deals to read off, starting with PS3 games. eBay, not just as in terms of like some guy out of his basement selling his stuff, but eBay itself is selling The Last of Us for $44.99.
Is that like a buy-it-now situation?
I think it's not an auction. It's like they sell stuff Amazon-style, essentially.
What?
So
eBay has lost sight of what
Amazon
we're doing style?
They do both.
Good?
$44.99?
$45 for a game.
Usually it's $60.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean...
Oh.
Yeah. It's not that great.
It's not bad. It's not
I
bad.
I don't know if it's worth dedicating this much time to.
You can pre-order Final Fantasy 14 A Realm Reborn for $39.99, and you get $10...
I've spent plenty of time in that beta. That game's actually good now.
Yeah.
So if you're interested, check it out.
And that's the PS3 version. You get $10 of in-store credit. Credit towards Amazon purchases.
That game is coming out at the end of this month. And we have a reviewer. He'll probably spend about 2 weeks on it.
At least, I hope.
And then, yeah. And then we'll give you a review.
Yes. You can pre-order NFL or Madden NFL 25 Anniversary Edition for $100, but that comes with a full season of NFL Sunday Ticket, which I believe is a good deal. That sounds like a good deal.
Is that the DirecTV thing?
I think so, okay. Where you essentially get access to any game at any point.
I think that's a good deal.
That's yeah. Good, yeah. Tomb Raider is $20 at Best Buy. Resident Evil 6 is $10 at Best Buy.
It's a bit of a price.
A little bit. It should be like $6. PS3 bundle is $279 at Walmart, and that comes with Uncharted 3, a second controller, and a 250 gig system. And the DualShock 3 controller is $37.99 on Amazon. Xbox deals, you got the Xbox bundle for $249. Same anniversary edition of Madden on Amazon, and Tomb Raider and Resident Evil 6. And the PC deals, you have Batman Complete Collection, which is Arkham City and Arkham Asylum, Game of the Year Edition, Lego Batman and Lego Batman 2 for just $30.60 from Gamersgate. And Saints Row 4 download is $50 minus a 20% off coupon from Green Man Gaming. And you can also buy an Assassin's Creed Tomahawk for $34.50, an actual one, like an actual Tomahawk, from Real Swordmaster. .com.
Nothing could go wrong with
that. No. Oh, and there's the, it's not on here, but the Origin,
yes.
Humble Origin
Holy
bundle,
crap.
Which I bought despite owning, I think, all of the games on that list, because it was $5 for
Dead Space 1
and 3.
Dead Space 3. Help me out here.
Crisis 2?
Crisis 2, like the Battlefield limited edition.
Battlefield 3.
Battlefield 3, if you meet the
$5.
$5 minimum.
Also, Sims 3 and 2 expansions.
Yeah.
And some other stuff.
There's, yeah, a couple other games on there.
For $5. Or like like 2 cents for half of those.
It was out of control.
Out of mother flipping control.
Have you ever used any of these, like Gamersgate and Green Man Gaming?
Green Man Gaming's a thing. I've heard people use it.
Gamers Do Gate's they just, like, send you a code?
I thought Gamersgate used to be affiliated with IGN. Was that?
File Planet used to be.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Do they just send you a Steam code or something?
Probably. Or it's... It might be
hesitant to.
It might be DRM free.
Gamersgate is totally legitimate.
Is it
haven't heard of.
They're both legit.
I gotta say, the deal segment was a little. It sounded a little shilly, but I don't think it was shilly enough.
Should we shill more?
I think we can shill. So before that, I gotta say, I was in Best Buy the other day, doing some shopping.
Okay.
And
as one is want to do,
I was looking for a new washing machine and dryer combo, stackable. And I was just walking down the aisle, and this guy, he comes up walking right toward me, and he's got on these fucking pair of eyeglasses, and I'm like,
eyeglasses or sunglasses?
They were sunglasses. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Are those fucking Ray-Bans? And they were Ray-Bans.
What an idiot.
That guy in a Best Buy was wearing Ray-Bans.
Doesn't he know the far superior eyewear is clearly Arnett's?
I was confused as to where this was going.
Nowhere good.
Until this just happened.
So, one of the things I'll say about Ray-Bans is, it's the cheapest plastic out there.
It snaps in an instant.
When you put them on your face, they're usually black. Like, I don't know why, because they like black or something.
Right.
But it's like...
Unoriginal.
A sooty black that'll leave a mark on your face if you put them on. I just cannot... Do you got a pair of Ray-Bans there? Yeah, you do. They're worn regularly.
I'm going to watch you talk
British
through this whole thing, wearing my Ray-Bans.
Child slavers made those Ray-Bans that you're wearing on your face.
Ray-Bans are
That's
actually
why I bought them.
Thank you, children.
Known to be children. Slavers, among other things. So,
if you were to recommend, some quality glasses,
I mean, I would go Arnett's.
Arnett's,
an Oakley company. they make a lovely, lovely set of sportswear eyeglasses. Not always sportswear. They make the goggles, obviously, and you can wear the goggles normal every day, or you can get special sunglasses.
Like town.
Just normal, aviators is a
polarized,
shape. Polarized, non-polarized.
Holy crap! You know who's about to get a pair of Arnett's?
Beautiful, beautiful Arnett's.
Beautiful Arnett's.
Who's that?
The people in the question of the week segment.
Oh, well, I got to do this real quick first. So give me one second.
What is this?
Oh, okay.
Oh, the community.
Perfect. All right, now you're allowed to discuss
this. It feels right. All right,
I can't do it. There you go.
Last week's question of the
something
week.
Something in the throat. I just don't got it.
Oh, yeah, and a special thank you to everyone who came out last week for our 50th episode live on Twitch.
And you can go to Twitch and watch it again, right?
Yes, you can. It's still there. That was a great, fun time, so thanks to everyone who participated and asked questions, things like that. So we asked, last week's question of the week was, what game have you been
most addicted to? Yeah.
What?
She's like, what did we...
Games. All right.
Give me your games.
So, yeah, game you were hopelessly addicted to, and you got to, you know, throw in an Arnett's sunglasses in there somewhere. So let's
see. How many fucking glasses?
Oh, God. Not like a... two boxes of them.
How many more episodes are we doing this?
One more, right?
I think we got one more.
How
long have we been doing this?
No, in the next one, you give away all 60 pairs in the same. Everyone
the best,
wins.
The best comment gets 60 pairs. Yeah. Whoever has the best picture of wearing 60 pairs.
Two more weeks.
Oh, okay, yeah, I think we do two.
Okay.
We're halfway.
We're halfway there, guys. Hang in there with us. Let's see. Harris49 says, I was addicted to OG Tomb Raider, the first game I ever bought. I needed those Arnett sunglasses to stop myself from getting poked in the eye by Laura's pointy, pendulous, polygonal breasts.
Best part of this is that he ends it with a fucking smiley face. Just a fucking... Seriously, look at this. He ends it with a smiley face.
He goes for the alliteration and it falls flat. Yeah. He should have found...
Look at that.
Yeah. Is there a word that begins with P that is synonymous with breasts?
I've just heard them called pointies.
Pointies?
Pointers?
That just makes me really in the most recent episode
of Breaking Bad, they described OG Star Trek's Uhura as having she walks. They said she walks in with her old pointies, which does a good job. That's the outfit she had.
So Harris 49, you're one of the three winners. I'm just gonna go ahead and throw that out there.
Okay,
now. Congratulations with your pointies.
No, he didn't use the pointies.
Oh yeah, that's right. You're not a winner anymore. I'm taking it back. Right. No, you win. Duffer00, I put about 400 hours into Skate 3.
What?
I used to sit and listen to podcasts like Talk Radar and Podcast Beyond for hours and accomplishing nothing instead of just riding around. I wish I had some Arnett sunglasses that I could give my character so he could have skated around in style.
Mm.
400 hours plus.
It's a lot.
In Skate 3.
I don't think I've put that many hours in a league. Yet.
I'm sure you have.
I might have.
Wait, time out. Last week you were talking about how you were up for promotion in League of Legends.
Oh.
Can you, you don't have to give the full story.
It's a good story.
Oh, God.
It's really not, it's not that good of a story.
So, abbreviated.
I was promoed. I made it. I'm in Silver 4.
Hey, congrats. You made it to the bottom of the mediocre bill.
Fuck off.
I love how Ryan gets super aggressive towards Tom when talking about League of Legends.
Hey, Ryan, what league are you in?
It doesn't matter, Tom.
Uh-huh.
I'm not playing that game for
serious. When was the last time you were up for promo?
Tom, you're just a try-hard. Yeah. Haven't you heard that phrase? You're a try-hard.
I try hard and I succeed.
Well, you try hard and you get carried into success.
Yeah, take that, Tom.
Look at my record. Almost all are wins.
That's not true.
Almost all.
You're like a backup quarterback who's saying that.
There are nearly...
I didn't actually take the field, but my team's awesome, and it's all thanks to me.
I think I'm at least 50-50
win ratio. We won the championship.
Ratio.
Look at this ring on my finger. Tell me I'm not a star player.
Yeah.
Project Alpha says... Well, Fallout 3 was addicting until the saves ended up being 15 megabytes a pop, and then I couldn't kill anything without the game crashing, unless I was wearing some Arnett sunglasses.
I've heard that helps. That was in the patch notes.
Yep. Let's see. The Goosinator.
Mm-hmm.
Good name.
I like that.
The game I was most addicted to was Pokemon Emerald for the original GBA. Despite the fact that I sucked, I clocked in at over 160 hours. The only way I could save myself was by putting on a pair of Arnett sunglasses so I could no longer see the non-backlit screen. Thank you, Arnett sunglasses. You saved my life. And the Goosinator, you yourself have just won another pair of Arnett sunglasses.
Another pair? because you had to wear them. Everyone on this list has Arnett sunglasses.
Yes. You're right.
They just need more because they have to. Not that you need more than one pair.
Right.
One pair will last you 10 lifetimes. And every time you wear them, people will think they look different because of how sexy they are.
Though they will multiply. So if you buy one pair, it'll multiply like through a process of. Like, you know how blastocytes eventually multiply to become babies?
Yeah.
You know what won't?
And honestly, they'll do that, and not only that, but the radiation of them doing that.
It'll make you younger. It'll cure your crow's feet.
And it will cure your cancer.
Yeah, your cancer too.
You know what won't? Ray-Bans.
Ray-Bans.
All right, Tom,
Ray-Bans
will give you read, cancer. You get to read this last one.
All right.
And this last one is also, he's the third winner, so congratulations.
All right. Easy, please.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy. I'm just going to go ahead
there you go.
And save us 20 minutes.
I was actually already breaking. League of Legends, dot, dot. I play this every day, like 10 games, and hate myself for it, but can't stop. Can't with a semicolon.
he's played so many games that he just cannot.
He can't physically stop.
What is punctuation?
Can't stop for punctuation.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Someone, please help. I only wish I could play with some Arnett sunglasses. I reckon they would boost my win ratio up by 30%. Seems likely.
Congratulations.
Kind of like Volibear's passive heal. Well, heal you for 30%.
Fuck, I just realized something.
It's good all in cool.
I have a League of Legends fact. There are certain characters that have sunglasses on.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
Real talk. They have sunglasses on.
Caitlyn.
And different skins. If you have a character that has sunglasses on and an enemy uses an ability on you that has sun in the name, like a sunblast or something, it will do one less damage to people wearing sunglasses.
Probably they're Arnett's.
I mean, they're definitely not Ray-Bans.
No way. No way.
Well, no, they're obviously not Arnett's, or else it would prevent 100% of damage instead of just one.
Maybe they are Ray-Bans.
Only 1%. God, Ray-Ban. All right, so congratulations to you you three. Go ahead and email me, greg@gamesrare.com, and you will get those sweet, sweet Arnett's sent to your residence.
And if you didn't win and you're looking for a way to win, we also do these weekly videos, the dramatic reenactment. You can find those on our YouTube page. We've done one for what?
Beyond
and
Two Souls and
Saints.
Saints Row. Saints Row. Saints Row 4. We have one coming up for Batman Arkham Origins, which we'll post Monday. So
and
that'll
if,
be your
if
next
you're
chance.
You're super
to win.
Stoked about these Arnett's. We had 10 comments in the last one. 3 of those 10 people won a pair of Arnett's.
You have to comment on the website.
Right? Yeah, you go fancy your chances.
It's really good.
You have to comment on the website.
Yes.
And
not on the YouTube video.
Not on the YouTube channel.
Mm. All right. So this week's question of the week. And I don't know how you're going to shoehorn Arnett in there, but I'm excited to see it.
It's not that difficult.
So what game studio would you like to
Arnett see? Sunglasses!
What?
Sorry, I got excited.
Game studio.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to see do a Humble Bundle?
Mm. Got to have multiple games.
Yeah, multiple games. Mm. I mean, it almost... I've never seen one better than the Origin one that just came out.
I'll say...
But that wasn't a game studio.
So. I'll say Ubisoft.
Okay.
Because they have a lot of games that I've played on. So Ubisoft had this thing, and they still do it, where they release a really good console game, and then like 4 months later it comes to PC. Mm-hmm. Because of that, I play it on consoles. Even though the PC versions have sometimes better graphics, sometimes they even have like mod support.
Most of the time.
But I never end up playing them with the better graphics and everything because I already played them once, and I'm not going to spend $60. But if I could get like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and... any like Splinter Cell games or anything like that that came out on PC now and get the better experience for like $4, I'd totally do that, especially if it comes with the DLC packs they released later that added Arnett sunglasses, because that would just really... I'd probably donate $1,000 instead of just $5.
Probably. I really like EA sports games in theory,
uh-huh,
but I never actually buy them.
Okay.
So if I could buy like a Humble Bundle with like FIFA and Madden and NHL and...
NBA Elite?
Is it? I mean...
We need to find that copy. I think I may have brought it in and lost it, and I'm super upset.
Yeah. Did
that's
you know
the
that?
One that never came out.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I have
a copy.
We have it.
I have a copy.
Oh, that's cool.
I've never played it, and I may have lost it. I brought it in to show everyone and lost it. It's like that time. It's like that time I brought in my hamster into school and lost him.
Right?
I lost a hamster.
In the snake cage?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I lost a lizard.
Very different from hamster.
It was either a hamster.
I only had like 3 pets,
or
all right?
A lizard.
And I lost 2 of them.
But no, I buy EA sports games. And especially because I could probably put Arnett's on every single athlete. Or they'd probably already be wearing them, and then I would just have an excellent vehicle to just look at my favorite Arnett sunglasses.
All
models.
Pro athletes wear Arnett's.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, we know this.
Yeah.
I'd probably go with, I'd like to see a Humble Bundle from Relic. I think that would be really cool to have all of their shows.
Are they a company
games.
Anymore?
Yeah, they're still developing
stuff.
They
are still alive and well.
they were a THQ company.
Nielsen on us.
They were a THQ company. I didn't know.
Yeah.
They make a lot of very excellent RTS and strategy games, so I'd like to pick all those up.
On the cheap.
For as much as money as I want to donate. But and all the units better be wearing Arnett sunglasses because that'll make them do more damage. I don't know.
Am I legally obliged to do the Arnett sunglasses thing?
Absolutely.
Okay, okay. I'd probably go for like a dice. In the bundle. Well, a humble bundle because, you know, you get all the battlefields and then you'd get some of the other cool stuff that they've done, like Mirror's Edge and Rally Sport. And
Mirror's Edge, that was in the humble bundle.
It was.
Mm. Yeah, you're right.
And there's rumor, or no, it's actually somebody did patch that with Oculus Rift support.
You mean instant vomit support?
I remember seeing that, and I didn't buy it because I remember seeing that Oculus Rift support through a patch, and I'm like, I can't justify buying it again. But now I have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my shill for Arnett sunglasses would be that you could put the sunglasses on Faith from Mirror's Edge, and she just like bump into stuff because it would block out so many rays.
She wouldn't be able to. She'd be wearing the ones that she'd be. She'd be wearing the ones
super hard.
Yeah,
and if you beat the game on Arnett difficulty, yeah, you get like a trophy.
You get early access to the sequel.
You get promoted to heaven.
Yeah.
So there we go. I was going to say the game's all about like the color of like seeing red and knowing you can jump on it, but if you wear like the brown tinted sunglasses, you wouldn't even be able to tell.
it's all just like the dark shade of.
I'm actually surprised they didn't do this right before they went out of business. But LucasArts, I want a LucasArts humble bundle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously there's a lot of Star Wars games in there.
But Fracture?
Fracture. Oh. I'm crossing my fingers if Fracture is in there.
I bought Fracture recently for some reason.
Did you?
I bought it on Amazon for like $5.
I would definitely get Fracture. And I mean, there's a lot of... You're deforming the ground. There's rocks and things flying around, so I'd have to toss on a pair of Arnett sunglasses.
Just keep proper eyewear.
Exactly.
Because they're sturdy enough, really, to block the rocks.
Why didn't they do that, though? Why didn't LucasArts be like, all of our games?
Because most of their games weren't... Like, half of their games you couldn't even get on PC anymore.
That's horrific. Rest in peace.
Darth Vader? Little known fact, those are actually Arnett's in his helmet.
He actually specifically would turn them on. He would, like, flip them on whenever he was going to murder thousands of people. Right. Like, whenever he... Those were... They actually... I read the script. He referred to them as his genocide glasses.
Right, but they helped keep his soul pure.
Yeah, that's what he felt.
And the glare down from his lightsaber.
Right, right.
He can, you know, take it to the best of him. Yeah. All right, well, that's the question of the week. What game studio do you want to see do a humble bundle? Answer it in the comments section.
Three more pairs of Arnett's up for bids.
Yep.
Or grabs, not bids.
I want to get them off my desk.
Mean, you can pay me for them, and I will take that money. But.
Right, there you go.
That's all I got.
All right, so be sure to... where else can they follow us?
They can absolutely follow us on... Well, you can start subscribing to our Twitch page, because we have streams on Wednesdays from 3 to 5, and Tuesday nights from 9 to 11 Pacific Standard Time. Pacific Daylight Time? Is it Daylight Time?
PDT.
PDT?
Pacific Time.
Pacific PDST. Time.
You can actually just say PT.
Island Time.
Yeah. That's what I've decided, because it's much easier.
It's less confusing.
What is?
PT.
Just say PT. Just
Pacific
say West
time.
Coast. West Coast time?
Like California. It's 3 a.m. and then in parentheses, West Coast! Exclamation point.
3 a.m. I'm a little lonely and I need you now.
And you can also follow us at GamesRadar on Twitter and go to the website.
go to the website. We have tons of content. Our
GR
Disney,
Radio Radar?
Yeah, GR Radio Radar Twitter account. There's also a Radio Radar Quotes Twitter account that I'm a fan of.
Subscribe
I don't know who
to
does
us
it. But
on YouTube.
Two new shows, a community based one, Radar Replies, where I answer your guys' questions.
Do you like that name?
What? I like it.
Radar Replies.
Oh, I like it, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
You don't like it.
Oh, you do like it?
Yeah, I'm a fan of it, yeah.
And also, Star Wars Battlefront Weekly.
Or Star Wars Battlefront 3
for
if
SEO
you're
search.
An SEO whore like myself.
But we're going to refer to it as Star Wars Battlefront Weekly.
Probably for the best.
Me and Lorenzo talk about everything we know about Star Wars Battlefront, which is close to nothing, so it's a massive speculation show.
I love how, like, originally we're like, we're not going to do any special effects. It's just going to be you guys' voices. And I just walked in on Frank making you guys wield lightsabers and ride swoop bikes. It was like, we're going to make it as basic as possible, so we're going to recreate the films.
So Frank has put a lot of indoor awesome work forest. Into this.
Yeah.
Did I say that right? Indoor forest?
What?
Did you say Endor?
Endor.
Endor.
Yeah.
The forest.
That's correct.
The forest moon of Endor, rather.
Yeah. Let's Endor
call
forest.
It what it is.
I did not fuck that up.
The indoor forest?
It's an indoor
thought you said indoor forest.
I heard indoor.
Yeah. forest inside a stadium.
No. Well, I mean, that's probably where... Actually, that was filmed in Marin. That forest.
Correct.
So that's it for episode 51 of Radio Radar. Be sure to follow us on all those places and come back next week, and we will talk to you later. You actually, it's been banned?
It's basically been banned.
Oh. Is League your new EverQuest?
Jamie was like...
My out of place.
It is.
No, you're in.
It
yeah,
is.
Wait, Greg needs metagame card.
Metagame.
Here, just take this one.
Take whichever one you want. Take whichever one you want.
I haven't even looked yet.
No, we can just take one. Just take one from me. I haven't looked.
Three of my own now. Why would I want one of yours?
You could have taken two of mine.
Are we on?
Yeah. We've been on.
Which... This adobo has just been killing me the whole.
Good God!
That food truck. We should not have gone.
Oh. Everyone else went to a better food truck
than
you.
That food truck I went to. Which is more realistic?
Oh. That is ripe.
Hits you in the face.
All right, so I'm gonna go with Zork. Because
oh God, that smells so bad!
I know, right?
How did it get over here?
I don't know.
Just like a
it's this adobo truck food
right,
truck.
Zork.
Zork is so realistic because here's the thing about Zork: when you're walking around a cave, and I do this regularly, I'm up in Marin, I'm walking around caves, and sometimes I don't have a torch, and when I don't have a torch, around the corner, I don't know, there's probably a slavering Gru.
Could be.
Probably. And this is the game that teaches me how to deal with that real-life situation, mm-hmm. which is to say, run like a fool. So,
all right.
Zork.
I went with America's Army because it was a game made...
Was there some audio happening?
I went with America's Army because there's many reasons why America's Army is one of the most realistic games. Number one, it was made by the Army just to try to make a realistic shooter. That was the whole point. Also, one of the more controversial elements of the game is that both sides play as the good guys. And the whole point of the game is that the other... you know, because they don't want to make you play as like terrorists. Mm-hmm. And that's how you see yourself when you're fighting. You never see yourself as the bad guys. Mm-hmm. You always see yourself as the good guy fighting for the right side. And the game did a good job of representing that.
Wow. Mm, that's deep.
Wow.
Wow. I went with Pong because it is basically table tennis in a video game. It's as real as it gets.
I don't feel convinced.
I went with Space Invaders because clearly tanks can only move side to side and shoot straight up.
Uh-huh.
Enemies who are going to be attacking us in the future are only going to come down.
Wherever they come from.
Yeah, just straight down though.
Straight down.
And then, you know, they'll shuffle to the left and to the right.
As they're off to do.
As aliens
magnetic
are off
fields,
to do.
That's all they can do with the magnetic.
Yeah. So, you know, Space Invaders is training us for the future.
Hmm. Now, it's insightful.
I think EA would love me to have picked John Madden Football because they love realism. But I'm going to go for Flower.
It's in the game.
Because, basically, flowers make everything better, as we all know.
Hmm.
And... In the UK recently, there has been a problem with petals bringing down pylons. And a flower just represents that perfectly. So, you know, well done, Flower.
You ruined everything.
And well done, Andy.